Okay, the 45 minutes of preparation time is now over. You will be given 30 minutes to present your response to the question, though you need not use the entire time allotted. During the presentation, you will receive both a 3-minute and 1-minute warning to allow you the opportunity to wrap up the presentation. Please let us know when the presentation is complete. Turn it over to you.
Thank you. We're excited to talk to you today about Robin. Robin is experiencing challenges. She's going through a lot. She has a lot on her plate. She has a family that is also experiencing significant transition, and we can bring a lot to help Robin through this time frame. We understand she's 35, she's enrolled, she's diagnosed with ALS, which we understand is progressive, and she will ultimately not survive her diagnosis. We understand she's a mother of three, her children are progressing, 8, 10, and 15, and she lives with her long-term female partner. She's got some significant concerns that we need to make sure that we address, and so we need to provide her services and supports that are going to address her physical health, her behavioral health, her home and community-based service needs, and really caregiver supports. We want to make the most of the time that Robin has here. We want to ensure her children and her significant other are also provided with the support that they need. And it's kind of neat. We work for the University of Arizona Health Plans, but we're part of a greater parent organization, Banner Health. And Banner Health really believes in advanced directives, so much so that we've made it an organizational strategic initiative. And we're striving to have every employee complete an advanced directive and have it on file so you can have those important plans made before the going gets tough. And in Robin's case, it's really important for us to consider how we're going to get those care plans in place for her while she can participate in that planning. UAHP, we have 30 years of experience, and we know we're not an Altex plan. We know that we have not operated as an Altex plan. However, we stand ready. We have many members who, while they're waiting for Altex eligibility, remain in our care. And we work to make sure that they have the best integrated care experience. So toward that, we've served these members. In addition, we have a large, decent population that are chronic and complex. In fact, 50% of our decent population enter into hospice before their death. We're familiar with people like Robin, we're familiar with the needs of her family, and we're excited to fill you in on what we're gonna do for her. With that, I'm gonna hand it off to Toby Hall.
Thanks, Mary.
You're welcome.
So, we're gonna talk a little bit about case management and the interaction with the member. So, understanding and acknowledging right off the bat, these are difficult conversations. So our case managers are trained to deal with these difficult conversations, and rapport is crucial at this time. So Robin right now is experiencing some things that she wants to talk about, that she might need some services for, and that, again, may be really difficult to discuss. So as I go through these, keep in mind that there's really always the thought of what is the member going through and how can we help them. So there's going to be, if needed, an assessment every 90 days sooner if she starts to decompensate physically. We're going to look at the service plan revisions if needed and get signatures every time that's changed. We're going to look at her current functioning and the needed critical services. What is the need for attendant care or personal care or housekeeping? What might be needed? And that there's a contingency plan. So if something happens with one of these services, we've gone through a contingency plan. Does she want this to happen the same day, within 2 hours, within 48 hours, the next day the service comes? That's her choice. It's up to her, but we're going to develop that before that happens. We're going to have a discussion about future needs and service possibilities. What could be coming up in the future? What can we kind of plan for and game plan about? There's going to be some team meetings with physicians and other people involved in her care, including any family member she wants to involve, which could include her partner, or maybe there's brothers, sisters, mother, father, friends, somebody she wants involved in her care that she feels comfortable with. if she's open to the discussion, and this might be new and frightening, we're going to start talking about advanced directives. We're going to talk a little bit about what are her choices for care if she becomes incapacitated. Again, difficult situation, but can we broach the subject and start talking about it? We want to look at what are her five wishes, talk a little bit about that. And if she has any end-of-life wishes that she wants to talk about right then. We're going to talk a little bit about legal issues. And she has a partner, and we want to talk about what those decisions could be and the legal needs with that. Does she have a will? Does she want to put one together? We're going to assess also her fears. This is a frightening time for her. She's got three kiddos she loves. She wants to see grow up. She might not be able to do that. What are the kids' fears? What are they worried about? How can we meet their needs too and help them? I'm sure the partner has some fears. How involved is the partner? Might be a little education about ALS for everybody to learn more about. What possible community resources can we look at regarding ALS? Are there any faith-based support groups that she might be interested in? We're going to talk about enrollment with a behavioral health agency. So that's for the children's support, for her support, for her partner's support, and then maybe they might be having some relationship issues they may want to deal with. And then the last piece I want to cover is we may have to look at a cost-effectiveness survey update if changes are occurring. And if that happens, then we'd enter that into CATS for everyone else to access. Dr. Baum, I'll turn it back to you.
Okay, and I just wanted to dive a little deeper into some of these service needs and support we're going to be offering for Robin. So obviously she's a current member, so over this time, as Toby's alluded to, we've built some rapport and addressed some of the issues. She has amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, which is a progressive disease. Clearly the case manager has coordinated care so that she's involved with a primary care physician, a neurologist who specializes in this disorder, and is part of our network. That meets the needs of our members. The case manager is coordinating the care with all her providers, including behavioral health providers, during this time, and made sure that there's a general understanding, level set among everybody involved of this disease process and what the expectations are. Having said that, at the same time acknowledging that you have to be aware that everybody can be at a different stage of grief, and not make the presumption that we're all, following the same pattern of acceptance and denial through this. Most important during this time is we have Robin, someone who physically is feeling like she's losing some control over some of her bodily functions. So we really want to give her, in a member-directed way, as much control over decisions she can make and focus on what her desires, hopes, and dreams are, what her priorities are, what is important for her quality of life during this time. So the service plan would address physical health needs, as we alluded to, getting her in with physicians that can take care of her, also the HCVS needs, so presumably she'd have some DME needs, some home modifications, attendant care, housekeeping, respite needs, personal aids are all possible HCVS needs that she might have that we would, through the assessment process, would identify what her level of need is and get her the hours that she requires. Sounds like she also has some skilled needs, so she'd be receiving some therapy. So the current issue that has come up, so she might have contacted us in between the reassessment, the 90-day reassessment time frame, to say, now I'm having trouble speaking. So clearly she needs a reevaluation with therapy. With this disease, that speaking might be also associated with feeding problems, choking, swallowing. She could aspirate. It could also be associated with just general deterioration in her physical situation. So we'd really need a full therapy reassessment. Case manager would coordinate all that to have that lined up. That could be done at home or in the therapy office, depending on what her specific needs are. She also seems like probably a good candidate to have an emergency alert device on her that we would make available. Also, during this time of her disease progression, as the service plan changes, we would redo the cost effectiveness study as appropriate, update through the CAT system, with any service changes, and if critical need services exist, create a contingency plan, as Toby alluded to, and mentioned about using the member's preference level. And of course, even though she determines her member preference level when she would like to have her needs filled in with a contingency plan, she can change that at any time. That would be reassessed every 90 days. And in between, if she changes, we will do that. Also important to the contingency plan, here is a woman, and one of her strengths is all the support she has around her. And it's important that we will not include natural supports in filling contingency critical gaps in critical services. However, if that's her preference, let's say her partner is part of that contingency plan to fill that gap, then we will agree to that. A couple other issues that come up. One, she has a number of member-directed options, co-employer options, that might be available to her that she really might like, as, again, she takes more control over her care needs. I'll let Dr. DeBry and Sylvia Potta, when they get into the legal issues in this case, discuss the possibility of spouse as a paid caregiver. We hear that she's a partner. We don't know the legal relationship there. Agency with choice or self-directed attendant care are all possibilities she really might be interested in. There's also a few value adds, that some of the unique aspects that our organization brings to the table in this care. And those are some unique care options that would really be ideal for Robin. Examples one, Healthy Together Care Partnership is something we started 4 years ago. And this is a multidisciplinary care team that includes a nurse practitioner, pharmacist, social worker, physician consult, community health workers that actually provide primary care in the home. And it's been very successful with our DSNP population and our high risk, high needs access members in the Tucson area. And we have committed in this RFP to expand that. Number two is Banner is very experienced, started with the Banner Alzheimer's Institute. They have a very progressive palliative care program that includes home-based primary care. And that can also be care that would be delivered over the course of her illness for her. We have something that we call comprehensive health assessments, having nurse practitioners go out to the home and do a full assessment. It adds that extra level of licensure skill set to the table that supports the case managers. And the other one that the University of Arizona and Banner has been very progressive in is telemedicine options. And that includes telepsychiatry. But there's some visits that Robin could have in her home setting with these telehealth and telemedicine options. So with this being said, behavioral health and grief support, caregiver support is critical to her service plan. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Kristen to discuss that support and service.
Okay, thanks, Tom. As Dr. Ball was saying, there's a lot going on with Robin and her family with this diagnosis. And we know that being a parent is really important to Robin. And things are going to change, and she's realizing that her ability to parent the children the way she has always been able to is going to be compromised. So the qualified behavioral health professional, in conjunction with the case manager, is going to speak with Robin and her family and her partner to talk about services and supports that can be available to them. So we have a network of providers that are specializing in grief and end-of-life transitions. And they could come into the home and do that if the family prefers that, or they can go on to their site. But we know that Robin may really benefit from some individual and family and couples counseling to discuss some of these issues about grief, the stages of grief, like Dr. Ball was referencing, anger, loss, and conflict. There's a lot going on, a lot of changes going on, and there's probably going to be some conflict going on. And how do people resolve conflict with all of these other physical health issues going on? Also, Robin has three children she's very concerned about, and we are too, because we want to make sure that these kids are getting their needs met, that someone is watching to make sure that they're also being taken care of, because a lot of focus could be on Robin, but we want to make sure that the kids are getting all the support that they need as well. So we want to see if they would be willing to enter into any type of individual or family counseling as well. And again, that service can be provided in the home or outside of the home. Some of these children are kind of young, 8 and 10. They may do better with talk, play therapy, and other types of interventions rather than talk therapy. And that's why we have specialists that can address these issues with different types of interventions. Because everybody deals with grief and loss and anger in a different way, even if you're a child. So our network is going to be able to provide a lot of these services in a home. If the family is willing to go to these services or have these services brought in, we will make that referral within 3 days and ask for that assessment to be done within 1 day. We do have a consulting psychiatrist that can also help guide us and provide consistent psychiatric consultation during this process. We're going to also talk to the family about their cultural values and beliefs regarding death and dying and transition and ceremonies that may need to take place and what those discussions are. So the behavioral health provider is going to start not only talk about the grief issues, but also some of the planning and the difficult discussions that need to take place for this. We want the children to be able to have a place where they can increase their coping strategies and understand this process in a way that makes sense to them. We also want the kids to have some options here. This is a pretty intense situation, and they may need to get out and have some leisure activities to have a break from some of the things that are going on. We are also going to support this process in having everyone in this family to have a brief crisis plan in case things really get off track with them. We want to make sure that the kids have some other trusted adults that they can talk to. We don't know what the relationship is with Robin and her partner. The other thing that the behavioral health provider can just discuss with the family is if things, and Seth and Sarah, Sylvia are going to talk about this, but if things really go wrong and worst case scenario happens, is they're going to start discussing the possibility of kinship care. And what are some other options with distant other family members that might be able to step in after Robin makes her transition. The other thing is that the behavioral health provider can do is discuss the roles and responsibilities of the family members. So we know that Robin is really concerned about missing the milestones in the family. So there's things that can happen in terms of recording school events, kids getting driver's license, proms, dances, boyfriends, girlfriends, parent-teacher conferences, transitions from junior high to high school, things that can happen. They can have FaceTime on the phone. They can do video recordings. They can have diaries and letters and FaceTime and use all types of methods to record these events and or have Robin participate these from her home using technology. The qualified behavioral health professional will consult with the case manager on a quarterly basis at minimum, but probably more frequently because of the issues going on. They will coordinate with all of the healthcare providers, and they will also follow up and update the PCP on the status of this situation. And I'm going to turn this over to Seth.
Yeah, I'd just like to quickly add a couple things regarding advanced directives that we've discovered over the years. Is one, clearly the importance of cultural issues that come up. For example, with our dual SNP plan, almost half our membership is non-English speaking, and they are 50% less likely to have an advanced directive. So we have implemented specific initiatives to improve engagement in those conversations with cultural diverse populations. The second issue is, once an advanced directive is done, it's really access to that at the critical point in time. And clearly, because of Robin's concerns and maybe legal issues that might be involved in this, it's very important, and our case manager works with these folks to have maybe that advanced directive on the refrigerator, uploaded to the Arizona State website, to their hospital provider where they're most likely to seek emergency care. That's where that advanced directive needs to be. So if something acute happened under an urgent circumstance, Robin's wishes would be followed.
Thank you, Dr. Ball. Thank you, Kristen. I'm going to talk a little bit about the issues with Robin and her partner, some of the legal issues, and then I'm going to talk about something that, very excitingly, we have as Banner University Family Care as an Altex plan to help our members, not just Robin, with these issues. So there's a lot going on with Robin and her partner right now, and some of the things we would have to look at specifically are medical power of attorney, legal power of attorney, child custody and support, or do they have joint custody of the children? Are the father or fathers of the children involved? We would have to look at, are the children legally Robin's children or her partner's children? we'd have to look at legal versus emotional rights. We know oftentimes in families such as this, the rights that are on the paper have no bearing on how they see themselves as a family. And this goes back to our ability to respect cultures and our ability to respect Robin, her partner, and her children, and really understand where they're coming from. Because our case managers are well trained in understanding this and really understand diversity, the case manager would have a good understanding of this. We'd want to look at family involvement. What other family are involved? Grandparents, cousins, brothers, sisters, and how supportive are they? Are they very supportive of the patient's, of the member's relationship, or are they somewhat estranged? Where does this play into them all working together? We'd have to look at their support systems. A lot of times, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people have support systems that, we'll say traditional couples, aren't as strong. So friends, coworkers, people in the community can oftentimes be these very strong support systems. And where do they get that from? We want to make sure the case manager had looked at the PCP or talked to Robin about the PCP and her subspecialist. Are they friendly? I can tell you as a family physician, I had patients when I was practicing come in and say, we're here because we understand that you understand that we're a same-sex couple and you're not going to judge us. And that's paramount in making sure that Robin and her family are getting the right care. And the case manager would be very aware of that. We want to make sure, I'm sure Robin and her partner know, that they, if it fits them appropriately, that they can get married and have all the legal rights of a married couple. So to this end, one of the things that we are going to offer as an all-sex plan is we're going to identify and partner with a legal and family advocacy agency that has expertise in end-of-life issues, and we'll actually be providing capacity building grants throughout the community to create master trainers to train in end-of-life services. Not only end-of-life care in general, but culturally appropriate end-of-life care, advanced care planning, palliative care, supportive care, and hospice services. So this is one of the services that we will directly be able to offer to Robin and her partner and her family to really help them go through this maze. And it is a maze. There are, in order to create the legal, as close as you can to a married couple, the legal rights and responsibilities, there are reams of paperwork that have to be signed, and there has to be a real understanding of how all of this works. And we would help her work through that. And we're excited to be able to offer that. The other thing that we would work with Robin and her partner on is what's their relationship with the children? Are the children supportive? Going back to what Kristen said, what are those behavioral health needs? And what do they need from us? We really want to respect individuality, self-determination, their culture, their rights, and their responsibilities. And we're in a unique position to be able to do that. The other thing that one of my colleagues had touched on is Robin's worried about missing some of the milestones for her children. Part of that is her children are going to miss her at some of their milestones. So things such as videos and recordings of Robin while she's still able to speak, of saying, congratulations on graduating from high school. Congratulations on getting married. Congratulations on your first job. Things that they can look at and know that she's not there physically, but she's there in spirit. That might help support the children as they go through this transition as well. We'd also make sure we understand her natural supports, as I alluded to. There are a lot of supports in the community. There are gay, lesbian advocacy groups. There are support groups. There are groups who provide legal services. And because of the cultural training that our case managers get and the ongoing training that they get, they would have a good understanding of how to refer to those community resources and bring those community resources into the home as needed, especially as Robin's condition deteriorates. So any of my colleagues have anything to add to this before we go on to
your community agencies? Some that are directed towards really helping the children. There's Vitadito, there's a number of different programs that children could refer to. They could meet with other children that are experiencing loss in their family. That might be very valuable to children at this age.
Dr. Ball, I also wanted to add that one of the areas that we are very sensitive to, because we will have a tribal liaison, is the understanding if any of these children are Indian children, because the Indian Child Welfare Act would take effect, and we know that the state has to coordinate on how the care of these children would be followed through involving tribal nations, not only in the state of Arizona, but in other states throughout the United States. So we have a very diverse cultural competency program that fully understands the implications of end of life. So our case management team will always have ongoing training to ensure that we have advanced care planning, palliative care, supportive care, and hospice care. And that we need to have that consistent assessment of the member and the family, because there's going to be ups and downs, and we need to make sure that we can continually have a pulse on how the family is reacting to the end of life planning that we're trying to communicate and work with the family. So I'll go ahead and...
One of the exciting things that we're able to offer, as I alluded to, is the legal and family advocacy program, where we're going to be training the trainers and offering those community grants to do so. The other thing to keep in mind is that we have a very integrated model. We truly believe in the mind, body, spirit, or the biopsychosocial model of care. So while we have divided these into packets to explain what we're going to do with Robin, everyone's going to be working in tandem. The legal advocacy folks would be working with the case manager if the case manager has questions. Our qualified behavioral health professional will be working with the member and with case management. There will be an RN involved in the care of Robin because of her ALS and her deteriorating needs to make sure that assessment is being done. So because we have such a strong history of working in an integrated model, we have our integrated care teams that currently meet about members on a weekly basis that include behavioral health, pharmacy, case management, and a medical director. We already have strong experience in providing that comprehensive care that really focuses on Robin.
Colleagues, any other comments or additions around services and supports? All right. So at the University of Arizona Health Plans, we pride ourselves, we talked before about putting the member at the center of all we do. And because of that, we pride ourselves on making member transitions as smooth as possible. And toward that, we see that we can offer Robin and her family and any other natural support she might have that transition. We hope that we've been able to demonstrate through this presentation and the one before it, that really we have embraced those Altec's values around choice, dignity, independence, individuality, privacy, and self-determination. At UAHP, in order to put programs like this in place, we develop comprehensive, very detailed implementation plans. We built extensive networks, and we're able to leverage our provider networks statewide. And all of our provider networks that we have, provider contracts that we have in place, include all lines of business. And so we already have providers at the ready to provide services for Robin, for her family. We also, when we're building our provider network, we evaluate it on a regular basis to make sure that it can continue to meet the needs. As utilization changes, member geographic living patterns change, we understand that the network may change as well. And so we support that. And our member council provides us with advice on how to build that network. The core to this is the case manager. The case manager role in Robin's situation is paramount. And we know that the case manager's role varies depending on what the healthcare status is associated with Robin. But the case manager is going to work with Robin to ensure we avoid gaps in care, to ensure her safety, to ensure that the care needs are met for Robin and for her family. It's going to include emotional support for Robin, emotional support for her caregivers and her natural supports. We're going to help her to navigate her healthcare benefits in a meaningful way and ensure that education and advocacy is in place. As a value add, one thing that we are going to offer as a long-term care contractor we really believe in the whole notion of family-run organizations. And we're going to provide an annual sponsorship at the Arizona Caregiver Coalition and help them to develop training materials that can really enhance the caregiver experience as well. So we, as I said earlier, we stand ready to serve Robin. Any closing comments?
I would just like to say real quick, Robin's partner could definitely be a caregiver. If they do decide to get married, we are aware that as a paid caregiver, that would be limited to 40 hours a week. And we would make sure that they were aware of how this worked and all the ramifications of it, and that they truly understood.
Stood.
You get credit for the
first
thank you. Thank you, guys. Good job, guys.
Thank you very much.
Do we need to leave the materials?
So I have a couple closing statements.
Okay.
Just to get through my script.
Okay, I think. All right.
Jenny
has some closing comments. Sorry.
We're meeting
up.
She could join
it's
us.
Okay. That's okay. You're fine. So I'll say you can leave the sheets and we'll take care of destroying them. So, okay. This concludes the oral presentation part of the RFP process. Thank you for participating. The oral presentation will be scored and the results included as a part of the RFP score. That's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all for your time.
Thank you.
Markers.
Trying to clean up. Our markers and their markers.
Our markers.